This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, it's wonderful to have you back onto the live webinar. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant you all goodness and success in this life and in the afterlife. And I ask Allah azza wa jal that He grant us all an accepted hajj and umrah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, you're all aware that tonight's topic is the purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. And I want to first begin by sharing with you how did the commandment of Al-Hajj and Al-Umrah come about in the Qur'an? And where was its first mention in the Qur'an in terms of how Allah Azza wa Jal would command us to complete and perform Al-Hajj wal-Umrah? Listen to this very carefully, because there's incredible wisdom and insight and valuable lessons in this. So after Fatah Makkah, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah, and now Makkah was a land of Tawheed, a land of believers and Muslims, and after the people began to enter Islam in large numbers and large groups, as Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. The people of Quraysh that used to harm and hurt the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and wage wars against him began to enter in Islam in droves. Huge numbers began to enter Islam. After the conquest of Mecca, there was the Battle of Hunayn, which happened in At-Ta'if, which is about 60 kilometers away from Makkatul Mukarramah. And this is when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared war against two great tribes of the Arabs, Hawazin and Thaqif. And of course, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of that war, he was victorious. And now Mecca has been conquered. The believers are finally able to return to the land they were kicked out from and exiled from. And now the Arab tribes are no longer a threat to the Muslims. That part of the land has been opened and conquered. And in addition, hundreds and hundreds and thousands are accepting Islam. So the companions, when they saw this and they realized all this, Al-Ansar radiallahu anhum, the companions, they said, لَقَدْ أَعَزَّ اللَّهُ دِينَهُ وَفَتَحَ بَلَدَهُ. Indeed, Allah has given honor to His religion and Allah has opened His land. Meaning Mecca has now been a land of Islam and a land of Tawheed. The oneness of Allah is going to be practiced and established from now on. Then they said, فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْصَرِفُ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِنَا وَأَعْمَالِنَا وَبَسَاتِينِنَا. They said, today, finally, we are going to go back to our wealth, to our businesses. We're going to go back to our work. And we are going to go back to our gardens and our farming. خلاص الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. Some of them are thinking that it's all done. It's all over. Now it's just going to be cruisy days and beautiful, lovely days. The mission is over. We've accomplished everything. Alhamdulillah. So in this moment of heedlessness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَأَنفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, spend in the cause of Allah and do not let your own hands throw you into destruction. Do not destroy yourself with your own hands and do good, be good, for verily Allah loves those who do good. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah said, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Throwing yourself into destruction, what does that mean? It means to abandon and leave the path of Allah. You see, the companions, they didn't intend to do anything haram after Mecca was conquered. They did not intend to do anything haram. Rather, what they wanted to go back to and enjoy was something permissible. Their work, their business, their trade, their farming. However, Allah Azza wa Jal explains to them in this ayah that this permissible matter, your worldly matters, your business and your trades and your farming, if it distracts you from the path of Allah, and if it distracts you from preparing for the afterlife, if it distracts you from seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is considered destroying yourself. A person may destroy himself not only with that which is haram, but you can destroy yourself by indulging in that which is permissible to the point where you begin to forget preparation for the afterlife and you forget the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything that distracts you from the path of Allah and from preparing for the afterlife and the meeting with Allah is known as ilqa'un bin nafsi ila tahluka. It is known as throwing yourself into destruction. So after this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned one fundamental act of worship in Islam that forces the believers back on the path to Allah. It forces the believers back on the path of seeking His pleasure and preparing for the afterlife and the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal said immediately after this ayah, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. He said, perform and complete and perfect. لأنه إتمام means to perfect. Complete and perform and perfect your Hajj and Umrah for Allah. Allahu Akbar. So the ayah said, do not destroy yourselves with your own hands, to be indulged in that which is permissible, to the point where you are distracted from the path of Allah, is destroying yourself with your hand. How do you now go back to the path of Allah? How do you rectify that relationship with Allah? How do you make sure that this worldly life never becomes a distraction for you? That's when Allah said, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. The one fundamental act of worship in Islam that will set you right and set you straight is Al-Hajj and Al-Umrah. And this is why the word Al-Hajj linguistically in the Arabic language, it means Al-Qasd. That's what Hajj means. Linguistically, it means Al-Qasd. Al-Qasd means to intend a specific destination, to travel to a specific destination. This is what Hajj linguistically means. I can say Hajjajtu ila Greenacre, for example, which basically in language, it means I traveled to the specific destination of Greenacre, for example. And so Al-Hajj is a unique trip, unlike any other trip you'll ever do in life. Why is it a unique trip? Because Al-Hajj consists of two types of trips, the physical trip and a spiritual trip. The physical trip is the horizontal trip, which is your body that moves from where you are now all the way until it reaches Mecca. That's the physical trip, in where it is horizontal. You move from your home with your body, from your house, all the way until you reach the sacred house of Allah, Makkatul Mukarrama. And then there is another trip, and it is more important, and that is the vertical trip, the trip that takes you from earth to the heavens, and that is the trip of the soul. So the body travels horizontally from your house to Mecca, and the soul travels vertically from earth to the heavens, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order for your soul to travel to Allah Azza wa Jal, one condition is required, and this is the essence of the Hajj, and that is al-ikhlas, that this Hajj be performed sincerely for the sake of Allah. That's why in this very ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَ لِلَّهِ. Perform your Hajj and your Umrah for Allah. And this for Allah, it implies sincerity, wanting only the pleasure and the acceptance and the appreciation of Allah. You don't want anyone's pleasure and you don't seek anyone's acceptance and approval from this Umrah and Hajj that you are doing. You only want Allah's appreciation and acceptance and no one else, because He's the one that's going to grant you reward for this Hajj and this Umrah. No one else on earth can give you reward for your Hajj and your Umrah. This is why, in order for this soul to travel to Allah Azza wa Jal and do that journey while you are doing your Hajj and Umrah, your Hajj and Umrah must be absolutely sincere for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why, brothers and sisters in Islam, if your body physically, if you don't reach the house of Allah to perform the Hajj or Umrah, then be absolutely certain that Allah will accept your Hajj and your Umrah, and that your soul will reach Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal, in that very same ayah, He said, فَإِنْ أُحْصِرْتُمْ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي. He said, if you are prevented, if you're physically prevented from reaching the house of Allah to do a Hajj and Umrah, your body was prevented from reaching Kaaba and from reaching Arafah, Muzdalifah, and all these sites that we must visit in Hajj, then Allah Azza wa Jal, He commands that we slaughter a sheep or a cow or a camel, whatever the case may be, and then you shave your head, and Allah will accept the Hajj and the Umrah. Even though your body didn't get there, if you are prevented for whatever reason, your soul has reached Allah and your Umrah and your Hajj is accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. And that was the very case with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the year of Al-Hudaybiyah, when they left Al-Madina wanting to do a Umrah at the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, they were prevented from entering Mecca and doing their Umrah. They were prevented. And as a result, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the companions that they shave their head and they slaughter their sheep or their cow or their camels, to slaughter all that and to go back to Al-Madinah. And you know, his body didn't reach there, but his soul reached Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Umrah was accepted. This is why in the seerah, when the question is asked, how many Umrah did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform in his life? The answer is, he did 4 Umrah in his life. 4 Umrah. You know which ones they are? Al-Ulama rahimahumullah, they say, he did Al-Umrah, the first one of Al-Hudaybiyah. They count it as an accepted Umrah. They counted it as a Umrah, even though physically he didn't do the Umrah. But the ulama, all of them are in agreement that that is his first Umrah, and it's counted from among the Umrah that he did. Then the second one was Umratul Qada, Umratul Qada. And here many people mistaken to believe that Umratul Qada means make the Umrah of making up, because the year before he wasn't able to do the Umrah, so this is the Umrah of making up what he didn't do last year. And that's wrong. Umratul Qada, it comes from the word مَا قَاضَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قُرَيْشِ. It is the Umrah in which the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم agreed with Quraysh that the following year he'll do Umrah. So the first Umrah, in where his body physically didn't get to the house of Allah, that was counted as a Umrah for him. And then the second one was Umratul Qada, and then Umrat Al-Ji'rana, and then the Umrah that he did with his one and only Hajj. 4 Umrat the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. 3, his body physically was there and he did it. And 1, his body wasn't there, but his soul had already traveled to Allah Azza wa Jal, and it was counted as an accepted Umrah. Allahu Akbar. So this is why, brothers and sisters in Islam, Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is a unique travel. The body travels from one place to another to the house of Allah, and more importantly, the soul and the heart travels to Allah Azza wa Jal from the earth to the heavens. And if you don't understand these meanings, you'll feel that your Hajj is dry and it's empty. And this is why Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he used to go out to Al-Hajj, one of his companions would look at the large number of people and he would say, Ma akthar al-Hajj. He would say to Ibn Umar, how great is the number of the people that are coming to perform al-Hajj? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu would correct him. He would say to him, ma aqallahum. He said to him, wrong. How few they are in number. What is Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu speaking about? There were hundreds of thousands. But Ibn Umar is saying the Hujjaj are a few in number. What he means by this is, yes, there are many here in their bodies. Physically, they are here. But only a few of these Hujjaj are here with their hearts and their souls. And those are those that understood the purpose and the wisdom for why Al-Hajj wal-Umrah was legislated. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters in Islam, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. How do we achieve a complete Hajj and Umrah? We need to know the purposes and for why Allah legislated this Hajj wal Umrah. From the very first purposes of Al-Hajj wal Umrah is to affirm your belief in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And by far, this is the greatest purpose of Al-Hajj and Al-Umrah, is to affirm your belief in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is actually the essence of every act of worship, at-tawheed, tawheedullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal-bara'atu min ash-shirk, and to also disassociate from making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Jabir radiallahu anhu, as mentioned in Sahih Muslim, he said, فَأَهَلَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. The very first thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when he entered the state of Ihram and prepared for his Umrah, Jabir radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initiated his Hajj. He initiated his Ihram with at-tawheed, with the words of tawheed. And what is that? That is the common phrase that we're going to repeat over and over again. And that is, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. This, what I just said now, this dhikr, is the greatest symbol of al-Hajj. It is the badge of al-Hajj. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he heard Musa alayhi salam saying this talbiyah, and he heard Yunus alayhi salam making this talbiyah. Walahu ju'arun fit talbiyah. He was saying it really loud with a loud, clear voice. This is the badge of al-Hajj, the symbol of al-Hajj. You see it? And it becomes more legislated when we move from one place to another. Yani this labbaik Allahumma labbaik is like the takbir of as-salat. We say Allahu Akbar in our prayers when we move from one position to another. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik is supposed to be said and recited loudly and repeated when we move from one location in al-Hajj to another, when we move from one right to another. So it is like the Allahu Akbar in Salat. When we're moving from Mina to Arafah on the way, that's when we increase saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, reminding ourselves that the greatest purpose of this Hajj is to instill deep within my heart the oneness of Allah, that I declare the oneness of Allah and I disassociate Allah from all partners. And then when we move from Arafah to Muzdalifah, we do the same thing. We repeat, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. And then when we go from Muzdalifah to Mina, and for the Rajam, we say it once again, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. So it is to be said from when you move from one location to another. Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the companions were on their way from Medina to Mecca. And he said to him, Ya Rasulallah, Allah commands you to instruct your companions that they raise their voice with at-talbiyah, because they were saying it but silently. So then eventually afterwards, they began to raise their voice with at-talbiyah. Allahu Akbar. So if you notice, everything in the Hajj is all about establishing the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. The greatest symbol and the greatest word, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, is a word of tawheed. You're saying, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, I answer your call time and time again. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. I answer your call alone. And you have no partners to you whatsoever. No one is equal to Allah. No one shares the kingdom with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah doesn't have any helpers, nor does He have any supporters. Nothing of that sort at all. All of this is shirk. This is what the word is reaffirming in your heart. That is the key to the paradise. That's the key to the pleasure of Allah. Then you say, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. And all praise, and all thanks, all gratitude, and all blessings, and all grace, and all favor, all of it belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal, and He has no partners in that whatsoever. Every blessing you're given is from Allah. When you say, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ, when you say, النِّعْمَةَ لَكَ, you're remembering every single ni'mah, every blessing that Allah gave you came only from Him and no one else. No one gave you any blessing besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And all the kingdom belongs to Allah. وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. So this is a word of Tawheed, and it establishes the greatest purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah in the heart of the believers. And when we do tawaf around the Kaaba, that is Tawheed. Because that tawaf is only done for Allah. And when you're doing sa'i between as-safa wal-marwa, that is tawheed, because you're doing that sincerely for Allah. And even on the day of Arafah, you all know, and I'm sure you've heard this already in the seminars, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest thing I ever said and the prophets before me said was, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. This is the word of Tawheed. This is Ash-Shahada. This is the first pillar of Islam. And this is the best thing to say on the greatest day of the year, which is the day of Arafah. So once again, reiterating that point, that the greatest purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is to re-establish and affirm that oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal in your heart, brothers and sisters in Islam. And from what perfects at-tawheed and completes at-tawheed is that you are sincere for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because if you're sincere in your actions and you do your actions only for Allah, then that is the result of correct tawheed in your heart. How does a person know that he has tawheed in his heart? How does a person know that he actually believes there is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah? By monitoring his actions. Are they sincerely done for his sake? Or is a person doing his actions wanting something from this worldly life and wanting the pleasure and the acceptance and the appreciation of others? This is very important. This is the litmus test to know whether you have proper tawheed in your heart or not. That is why Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that حج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على رحل رث وقطيفة تساوي أربعة دراهم أو لا تساوي. ثم قال اللهم حجة لا رياء فيها ولا سمعة. Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he performed Hajj on a cheap saddle, very cheap saddle that was mounted on the back of his camel. And it had a very cheap fabric stretched on top of the saddle. Anas radiallahu anhu says that this fabric that was stretched on top of the saddle cost perhaps 4 dirhams, and perhaps it didn't even cost anything, less than that. It had no worth, it had no value. Yani it's like, this is the economy class Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the saddle, it was cheap. And the fabric on the saddle was cheap. But the point is here. At the end of this narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allahumma. He said, my Lord, hajjatun la riya'a fiha wa la sum'a. He says, oh Allah, this hajj that I want to perform, I seek no showing off and no praise and appreciation of mankind whatsoever. لا رياء فيها ولا سمعة. This is why it is also a sunnah that when you say لبيك اللهم عمرة at the miqat in Medina, that you add with that as well اللهم حجة لا رياء فيها ولا سمعة. Because our Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that. He said, oh Allah, This is a Hajj that I intend to perform, and I do not show off in it. And look at the state of how he came, with a cheap saddle on the back of the camel and a cheap fabric on the saddle. This all helps the person remain sincere to Allah Azza wa Jal. So sincerity, you need to focus on sincerity in order for proper tawheed to be established in the heart. And why do I emphasize on this point, and why do I mention it as the first and the greatest purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, is because today, in these days that we live in, there is a huge disease that has become widespread among the Muslims, especially during their acts of worship, and more so lately and recently in Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. And that is the cameras and the selfies that people like to do when they are doing tawaf, when they are doing sa'i, when they are in Arafah raising their hand and making dua, brothers and sisters in Islam. All of this, if this is your concern, wallahi, there are people, their main concern in Arafah is to have a picture with his hand raised, and then he sends it off. He sends it off in the WhatsApp group, on his Instagram, in the Snapchat. And why? To tell the people, to show the people, I'm here, I'm in Arafah. And he raised his hand. He's not even making dua. And what's the proof? Because as soon as the picture's over, he puts his hands down. She puts her hands down. I've seen this, wallahi, with my own eyes. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, that Allah is shy to reject the hands of the slave that are open to him. Allah is shy to reject the dua of the slave that raises his hand to him. And this person is raising his hand so that people can see him. He's in Arafah making dua. And he's not even making dua. But just to raise your hand and make dua and take a picture and send it to people for what? So they can comment, so they can like it, for what? You might say, no, brother, don't understand me wrong. I'm doing this to encourage people. You're a liar. Because a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is enough to encourage the people to do Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Not you. Not you in your ihram and raising your hands, faking a dua for a picture to be taken. Whose appreciation do you want? Is this deed done for Allah? Or was it done for the people? And the people that go around Al-Kaaba and they're carrying their phones and they're taking a selfie, raising his hand. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the hand is to be raised for Allah in dua, not to be raised for a selfie so that people can see your worship and what you're doing. When you are in Al-Tawaf, you're in a state of worship. When you are in Al-Umrah, you're in a state of worship. It is not befitting for a Muslim to have one of his concerns that a picture or a video be taken of him and sent as far as it can reach on the earth and on the land of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we be careful. This tarnishes, it damages sincerity, which then damages at-tawheed. That's the connection and the link for everything here. That we're saying the greatest purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is to establish a tawheed. And part of a tawheed is to be sincere in your actions for Allah. When your concern is taking pictures and sending it around, that damages your sincerity, as a result, damages your tawheed. As a result, you didn't understand the greatest purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. And these people that you want to show them that you have done your Hajj and Umrah, whatever it is, on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشَّرَكَ فِيهِ مَعْيَ غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. And on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal, he tells the people that did the deed for other than Allah, he says, go to those who you did your deed for. Go seek from them reward. There's no reward with me. If you weren't sincere in your action and your deed for the sake of Allah alone, And if you did it for someone else and to show it to the world, people like that are told on the Day of Judgment, go to such people, seek your reward from them. See, what hasanah? What reward can they give you? What are they going to do? What are the people going to do? They're going to give you one hasanah? Here, take one hasanah. Thanks for showing us your worship in Arafah. Take a hasanah. No matter what the people give you of reward, it will not equal to what Allah Azza wa Jal could have rewarded you had you kept sincere in your Hajj and in your Umrah. So that's a very important point. And unfortunately, as we said, this has become a widespread disease. The cameras, the selfies, be careful of these matters. And don't ask me, can I take a picture of myself in Umrah and in Hajj? I've already given you the advice on this point. You go and do what you like, but be very careful that the intention is very difficult to set right if your concern is going to be what kind of photos and what kind of pictures and videos you're going to be making of yourself when you are performing Al-Hajj. You ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us all sincere. Brothers and sisters in Islam, also from the great purposes of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is to attain the forgiveness and the pleasure and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and to ultimately be saved from the hellfire and the punishment of Allah. Yes, indeed, this is a huge and a great purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. We want to perform this Hajj and Umrah so that we can attain Allah's forgiveness and that we be saved from the hellfire and to guarantee for ourselves a spot in the paradise. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever done a Hajj, falam yarfuf walam yafsuq, and he did not engage in any sexual activity or any sexual words, walam yafsuq, and he did not engage in any prohibition and sin, he will return after finishing his Hajj the same way his mother gave birth to him. You know what that means? You know, a newborn, when a newborn comes out from his mother, he comes out with no sin. He comes out with a pure heart, a clean heart, a heart that hasn't been dirtied and blackened with sins and violations against Allah. That is the exact reward of the one who performs Al-Hajj under these two conditions, that he doesn't engage in any sexual activity or talk, and he does not engage in any fusuq, any sin and disobedience. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he mentions and highlights something very important when speaking and commenting about this condition, al-fusuq, to keep away from fusuq. He said, if a person is practicing a sin and he only paused it for the days of Hajj and he intends to go back to the sin after the days of Hajj, then he is engaged in fusuq. He is engaged in disobedience. He hasn't made a tawbah. Because the correct tawbah from disobedience is to make a solid, concrete intention and determination that you will never go back to the sin at all. You have put a complete stop to it, not a pause, a complete stop to the sin. If you fall into the sin later on, then you make a tawbah from that and so on. But you cannot be planning before Hajj that during the days of Hajj, I will stop the sin and afterwards I will go back, because that is fusuq. And Allah Azza wa Jal promised that a person will return a newborn, meaning have his complete sins forgiven, if he doesn't do Rafath and fusuq, doesn't engage, as we said, in the sexual talk and sexual behavior, and does not do any fusuq, any transgression and disobedience. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, Al-Hajj al-Mabrur, the accepted Hajj, it has no reward but the paradise. You see, from the greatest purposes of Al-Hajj al-Umrah is to secure a spot in the paradise. The one who's aware of this purpose will have huge hope in Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah admits him into the paradise. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Amr ibn al-As, he said, وَأَنَّ الْحَجَّ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ, that al-hajj, it destroys everything of sin and transgression, major sins, minor sins that took place before it. Allahu Akbar. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning Arafah, he said that the greatest day of the year in which Allah frees people from the fire is the day of Arafah. Allahu Akbar. Even more than Laylatul Qadr, even more than the days and the nights of Ramadan, the greatest day in which Allah frees many, 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 many from the hellfire is the day of Arafah. So this is a purpose of Hajj and Umrah. The greatest purpose on the day of Arafah is to be forgiven and freed from the fire. What does it mean if you're freed from the fire? It means you will not enter the fire. It means you will not burn in the flaming fire. It means you will not experience that punishment of Allah. And it also means that you will enter the paradise and that will be secure and guaranteed for you. And if Allah has written you from among those who are freed from the fire, then you might do sins afterwards. But Allah Azza wa Jal will enable you and will give you the success that you do a final tawbah, sincere tawbah, just before you depart this worldly life. That's what being freed from the fire means. You might fall in a sin afterwards, but Allah Azza wa Jal will give you the ability to do a sincere tawbah before you depart this worldly life. Allahu Akbar. So this, brothers and sisters in Islam, is a great purpose and wisdom of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, to seek this pleasure of Allah and to have the paradise and to be freed from the fire and to attain Allah's mercy and be forgiven from all your sins and shortcomings. Brothers and sisters in Islam, perhaps I share with you one final purpose and wisdom of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, and that is, and listen carefully, إِقَامَةُ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. One of the greatest purposes of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is so that you can establish the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الطَّوَافُ وَالسَّعْيُ بَيْنَ الصَّفَ وَالْمَرْوَى لِإِقَامَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. She said that tawaf around the Kaaba and the sa'i between as-safa wal-marwa was only legislated so that the remembrance of Allah may be established. That is the purpose of tawaf and sa'i. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he used to see the Kaaba, he would begin with dhikrullah and he would say, Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam fahayyina rabbana bis-salam. Say, oh Allah, you are the source of peace. You're the one that is free from all defects and flaws and imperfections. Wa minka as-salam, and every source of peace comes from you. So greet us, our Lord, greet us with peace. That's what he used to say. And that's the very same thing we will say when we see Allah Azza wa Jal in the paradise. Because seeing the Kaaba reminds us of the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal in the paradise. This is a very deep understanding of Umar radiyallahu anhu. Well, tawaf around the Kaaba is like a salat, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. However, Allah Azza wa Jal allowed that we talk when we do a tawaf. And then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is going to talk while doing tawaf, فَلَا يَنْطِقْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ, then only talk good. And from the greatest of good is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, he said, فَأَقِلُّوا فِيهِ الْكَلَامِ, decrease your speech while doing tawaf. Meaning, don't talk nonsense. Don't talk worldly related matters. You're in a sacred worship. So reduce your worldly speech and increase your dhikr and remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And remember that the reality of doing tawaf around the Kaaba is actually doing tawaf around the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because directly above the Kaaba is Al-Baytul Ma'mur, which is up in the seventh heaven, Al-Baytul Ma'mur. And above that is the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal, the throne of Allah. And Allah is established above the throne. And al-malaika, the angels, they make tawaf around the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. And everything of what Allah created makes tawaf around the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of it makes tawaf around the arsh. Even the sun. This is why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Abu Dharr, he said, "Ya Abu Dharr, do you know where this sun sets?" He says that it sets at the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal, because it had made tawaf around the arsh. And so us on earth, when we're doing tawaf around the Kaaba, we are doing tawaf around the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what it represents. And this is why from the greatest things to say when you are doing tawaf around the Kaaba, from the greatest dhikr, is to say Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. This is not something that was narrated, obviously, but of course the door of dhikr is open. There's no specific dhikr to be said while you're doing tawaf. But from the greatest of dhikr that Allah loves to hear from the servant is Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. And that's exactly what the angels say when they are doing tawaf around the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. So as you're doing tawaf around the Kaaba, you are saying what the angels are saying when they are doing tawaf around the arsh. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَالْمَلَائِكَ حَافِّينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. They are declaring the praise of Allah, the perfection of Allah, by saying Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Subhanallah. Naam. Wallah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Allah says, فَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. Many times in the Quran, when Allah spoke about Al-Hajj, he reminded us and commanded us to make dhikr of him. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. And Allah said, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ and فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. So many places in the Quran, when speaking about Al-Hajj, Allah will say, remember Allah and remember Allah, make dhikr of Allah, make dhikr of Allah, like you make a dhikr of your parents. When you say, mom, dad, mom, you know, a child, when he continues to say, mom, dad, that's the only words he knows. Make dhikr of Allah like this and even more. The only one you should know in Al-Hajj is Allah Azza wa Jal and no one else. Allahu Akbar. Naam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a man came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, from among the people that do Hajj, who earns the greatest reward? And that's a beautiful question. Because everyone is the same, everyone is doing Hajj. But from among all these people that are doing the same actions, wearing the same clothes, spending the same time during this Hajj, some earn a lot more reward than others. What is this thing? What is the matter that will give you greater reward in your Hajj? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ فِيهِ لِلَّهِ ذِكْرًا. Those who remember Allah more. So the more you remember Allah, the more reward you earn in your Hajj and in your Umrah. And brothers and sisters in Islam, you're going to notice something when you do tawaf around the Kaaba and Sa'i and in Arafat and in Muzdalifa and when we're doing Al-Jamarat and the days of Mina, you're going to notice something. There are some people that will be remembering Allah in abundance. And some people will remember Allah average number of times. And some people are barely making dhikr of Allah. And wallahi, and a sad reality, others are going to be completely heedless from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And some are talking about worldly matters and about this dunya, about business, about trade, taking the phone call from one business to one other and whatever it is. And some are taking pictures of themselves and pictures of the clock tower and disturbed by this and distracted by that. And among all these people, the winner, the successful one, the one who understood and implemented one of the greatest purposes and wisdoms of Al-Hajj Al-Umrah is the one who engaged in abundant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So which type are you going to be of? Are you going to be from those who remember Allah in abundance? If that's you, then congratulations. You will earn the greatest reward from among all those who do Al-Hajj wal-Umrah this year. Or are you going to be from those who remember Allah average? We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from being heedless and distracted from dhikrullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was one of the greatest purposes of Al-Hajj, so that we remember Allah not only in our hearts, but on our tongues as well. And this is why the Hajj, he is recommended to say, it's recommended for him to read Qur'an. It's good to read Qur'an in Al-Hajj. This is the greatest dhikr of Allah. It's good also to engage in Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. To say la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamduhu ala kulli shayin qadir. And to continue to repeat this as many times as you can. To say astaghfirullah, this is a dhikr of Allah as well. To say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, that's a dhikr. To make dua in abundance, because a dua is also a form of dhikr. You are remembering Allah Azza wa Jal when you are making dua. So brothers and sisters in Islam, let's be aware of these matters and be careful of these matters and these purposes that we fulfill them during our Hajj and our Umrah. And perhaps inshaAllah ta'ala, if we have another time and another chance to meet, perhaps in Al-Hajj and in the days of Hajj, I'll remind you of these purposes and we can add some more to them bi-ithnillah, that which we did not cover today. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He allow us to reach His house. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us an accepted Hajj and Umrah. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgive our sins and our shortcomings and accept from us our righteous deeds. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.